You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Is the plague at all a threat in the modern day?
No.
The Wire.
Recently, an independent evaluation was conducted into Foodstuff's trial of facial recognition technology in their security system at 25 of their outlets in the North Island. The evaluation found that using facial recognition and security cameras reduced crime and harmful behavior at Foodstuff outlets by 16% based on an examination of 1,742 facial recognition alerts for repeat offenders. However, there were also 9 instances where customers were misidentified as offenders by the system, with one woman who was wrongfully removed from a pack and save launching a case against facial recognition technology with the Human Rights Review Tribunal, claiming that the technology was discriminatory. I spoke to Guhan Gunasekara, a associate professor of commercial law at the University of Auckland, to discuss the implications of facial recognition technology at retail outlets and what we can expect in the aftermath of the independent evaluation into the trial.
Do you think that the Foodstuffs trial was successful at reducing theft and harm in retail outlets?
Well, I think we have to take them at their face value if they have cited statistics. And the point I would make is that it's their own study. They've commissioned it. But there is a far more important independent evaluation. I mean, they say this is independent, but they've commissioned it. So I would question how independent it is. Nevertheless, I'm not questioning their honesty or the accuracy of their data. And it is an important metric to measure the cost-benefit analysis of the use of these technologies that are potentially privacy intrusive against the social benefits that result. But what I would say to you is that this, while it's important, it's a step along the way. I think I'd be more keen to see what the truly independent truly independent investigation, which is currently still ongoing by the Office of the Privacy Commissioner, and let's wait to see what that has to say.
Can I just ask, do you have any doubts about the level of independence that went into the evaluation of the trial?
No, because I have no reason to doubt it. I have no evidence or there's no suggestion of any underhand activity. But all such investigations, you have to consider who actually commissioned it and who actually did it. It's a little bit like, you know, people who in the old days, they used to commission health people to say that smoking was perfectly safe, you know, and they would commission their own studies. So you have to obviously take everything with a grain of salt. But that said, I have no reason to doubt that there has been some fall in retail crime, and especially serious incidents which we are told are a matter of concern. And we've heard anecdotally of cases where people have been attacked and there have been incidents in retail, especially in supermarkets. This is no doubt a pressing social concern. So if it does have a beneficial effect in keeping some of those people out, we need to measure that against how many false positives were there, how many people were misidentified. They tell us it's very few. But those are the kinds of things which the Privacy Commissioner's investigation, I would want to see the Commissioner come to some kind of considered opinion on those matters.
So based on the findings in the evaluation, do you think that facial recognition technology should be used in more retail outlets across Aotearoa?
Well, see, this is a hot topic at the moment. And of course, this comes against the backdrop of the current proposed biometric processing privacy code. So there is the Privacy Commissioner has issued a draft code for consultation, and people have been able to make their submissions on it, and now they have yet to release the final content of the code. Now, just for your listeners to understand, in New Zealand, codes of practice are mandatory codes. They're not voluntary guidelines or anything like that. The law that we have is, of course, the Privacy Act, and the Privacy Act is law, despite, you know, people might think, well, it's vague principles type of rules, but they are rules nonetheless. And if you breach the Privacy Act, there are potential consequences, especially where individual complainants can take matters, you know, they can ask for damages in a worst-case scenario, or they can ask for an injunction or an order, which could lead to a business having to shut down. So potentially, the Privacy Act has teeth. But the question is, and these codes that are issued under the Privacy Act replace the Privacy Act's rules in respect of what they cover. So the biometric code will cover all biometric processing, and that will, in fact, if it does take place, if it does get adopted, that will be a set of rules that all agencies will have to comply with. And if they don't, then people can complain to the Privacy Commissioner.
Can you tell us about the specific ethical or privacy implications that might be associated with the use of facial recognition technology in retail outlets?
Sure. So facial recognition is one type of biometric identification and categorization. So biometrics can be used for a whole lot of things. They can be used to segment people, to discriminate against people. They can be used for a whole lot of things. But identification is what is being tested here. So, you know, we have this idea that there are people who have been trespassed or excluded from certain retail premises because they've been identified as a potential threat or a lawbreaker. Now, the biometrics, facial recognition is a type of biometric identification. And it's nowadays, these technologies are very, very accurate. So you can wear a mask, you can try and cover your eyes, but you know, all it needs to do is to see a small portion of your face, and it biometrics means it measures a whole lot of things. It measures, say, the distance between your nose and your lips, or your eye, or the distance between your eyes, just to give an example. But there are a variety of these measurements, and they're cross-referenced, and they generate a template that is a digital template that basically says, "This is you. This is who it is. This is Otto, or this is Gehan." Now, these technologies have been known to make mistakes, and they are especially known to make mistakes when people of color are the targets. The moku is also an issue. So for Maori, there is a specific issue of sensitivity. So, you know, there are issues here, cultural issues, which we are told they've taken into account. But again, all of these things will come out in the independent Privacy Commissioner investigation. And what I would ask your listeners to think about is the cost-benefit of all of this. So the new biometric code, if it does come into force, will require agencies to make that risk analysis up front. So then they're not going to be able to just roll these technologies out. They're going to have to undertake a privacy impact assessment at the beginning. Now, once we have the Privacy Commissioner's independent report, which hopefully will be even before the code comes out, we'll be able to know whether the Privacy Commissioner has taken these things into account.
Do you think that the data collected using facial recognition technology could be misused in any way?
Well, this is why biometrics are regarded as particularly sensitive, because you know, you can get a new credit card, you can get a new ATM card, but you can't replace your face. If your face is somehow stolen and somebody else gets hold of that data, then they can actually pretend to be you, and your identity is permanently compromised. There is no comeback from that. Or it's going to be very difficult. So biometrics are particularly sensitive. There can also be vulnerabilities, because we now know that these technologies not only reveal your identity, they could also reveal that you have got some health issue, for example. You know, from the look of your face, the muscles, the way you smile, they could say, oh, this person has had a stroke, or this person has had some cognitive disability or mental illness or something else. So the very, very, very sensitive health data could be revealed by biometrics. And the other thing your listeners need to know about is that biometrics, current technology is things like your thumbprint, your fingerprint, your iris scan, your face. This is what's called physiological biometrics. But biometrics can also include behavioral biometrics. So you can identify a person by the way they walk. And computers can do this very well. I mean, we all do this. We can, if you look up, you know, if you're looking down and you see someone walk past, often you can identify that's your friend Charlie, or that's the way Mary walks. You know, you can tell instantly. Now, computers can do that with a far, far greater rate of efficiency. And gait analysis, the way someone walks, the way someone stands up, those kinds of behavioral characteristics can also be used to identify people. But on the downside, they can also be used to diagnose that the person has some kind of health issue. So the uses of these need to be very, very carefully controlled. So these are the risks. And what I would say is I would wait to see what the Privacy Commissioner's official report into the foodstuffs facial recognition trial. And I would want to see not only that it was effective, it stopped retail, or it didn't stop it, but it reduced retail crime significantly. Well, that's quite a good thing. but at what price, and how many mismatches were there, and what was done in those cases, and also if somebody who is identified as a potential troublemaker, does that mean for the rest of your life you're going to be identified as a troublemaker? Is there, in other words, do you have a right to be forgotten at some point? Do you have a right to get your life back? So how long are these records kept? Who is it shared with? Is it shared with law enforcement? These are all questions which I would want to see answered in the Privacy Commissioner's report. And if they are not answered, then I will certainly be asking questions of the Privacy Commissioner, and I would ask the public to do the same. So I think we need to hold the Privacy Commissioner to a very high standard, and we need to see that the Privacy Commissioner's report does actually get to all those tricky things. Like, you know, they tell us that innocent people's images are collected for a split second, and just after 1 or 2 seconds, when there's no match, it is deleted automatically. Well, that's all very well. It's all very good. How secure is that system? How do we know that someone can't hack into it and basically capture all that data? How do we know that the law enforcement authorities aren't able to access that data? These are the kinds of questions that I think we need to see answered in the official Privacy Commissioner's report when that comes out.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.